Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
He cited during his live recording of the touching song You Are My Friend that their first rehearsal occurred on a drive to Marin County here in Northern California in the back of a Volkswagen. Recounting the moment, he met the two powerhouses who would become his backup singers, Miss Martha Wash and the late Izora Armstead, known as Two Tons of Fun and later the Weather Girl. It is a song that legendary performer Patti LaBelle wrote, co-wrote with her then-husband Armstead Edwards, and anyone who dares touch a song that Patti sang has to be mighty real, and that Sylvester James was in life. People of the world, I am your host, G.D. Welcome to iArtist Presents on A Touch of Grace. Today's date is March 6, 2014, and the time, 1:30 p.m. Joining me today on A Touch of Grace are the two incredible men behind the magic of the stage play based on the incredible life of the late dynamic life force, Sylvester James. The visionaries, Anthony Wayne and Kendrell Bowman, channeled the spirit of the late flamboyant showman in a fabulous stage spectacle called Mighty Real, a Fabulous Sylvester Musical. Anthony Wayne has been featured in the multiple Tony Award-winning Best Musical Revival of Pippin on Broadway. His impressive entertainment resume includes Priscilla and the 2011 Tony Award-winning revival of Anything Goes. He has toured with such shows as The Color Purple, A Chorus Line, and Fame, the musical, just to name a few. His partner on the creative side, whom is also his life partner, Kendrell Bowman, speaks the language of creativity fluently. A graduate of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York City, his skills in fashion led him to managing luxury fashion houses Louis Vuitton and Balenciaga. I knew I was going to have trouble pronouncing that. But in 2010, he opened the doors to his own styling company, I Am Kendrell. Kendrell has worked with many mainstream artists from Kanye West, Don Richard, Kay Michelle, Loreanna May, Ashanti, and David Banner. And what happens when powerful creatives collide? Utter magic. So first of all, allow me to bow before your creative brilliance, gentlemen.
Well, thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And how are you doing this fine spring day?
Very good.
Good, good. Well, welcome to A Touch of Grace, Anthony and Kendrell. So for the listeners who have tuned in today, can you each take a moment and share with us where you were born and how you got started in the glamorous, fast-paced life of show business? So we'll start with you, Anthony.
Oh, well, I was 5 years old. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia, and so my mother was, she got in touch with this woman named Margie Day Walker, who was a blues singer from the 50s, and she, at the time, wanted to inspire children in Virginia as she got older. So there was a children's theater that my mother put me into, and called Summer Stage, and from there, it was like the bug was already put in. Into me, and so it was infectious, so it never left me. So from there, I started doing children's theater in Virginia. I went to the Governor's School for the Arts, and then went to Shenandoah University Conservatory as a music theater major, and then from then on, it was just, you know, above and beyond. So it was just about more like tours and things like that, as you spoke of, and I just think seeing and knowing how people feel, you know, the joy that they get from theater, from live theater, that's what continues to keep me driven in this business. So there it is.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what about you, Kendrell?
Well, I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina, and I've lived in New York now for 14 years. I was ready to move. My whole background comes from theater and fashion. As you mentioned earlier, I went to the American Musical Dramatic Academy, a conservatory in New York. And after, when I moved to New York, I thought I was going to go to school for theater in the daytime and go to school for fashion at nighttime, but I realized that couldn't happen. So after I graduated AMDA, I began to get into fashion. I was doing acting on the side, but I started to be a retail buyer for a women's clothing store in Chelsea in New York. Once then, I started to managing, as you said, luxury houses on Louis Vuitton. I ran the ready-to-wear division for them. And after that, I grew on to do Balenciaga for probably 3 years and running the VIP clientele, which I met most of my clients from like Kanye West to Kim Michelle to David Banner to Ashanti, Sean Paul, all of these celebrities that I was working with. And one day I kind of got fed up of working in the corporate world of making these other companies rich with my talent and said, you know what, I'm going to take my clientele and start my own company and style on my own. So I've been styling celebrities now probably for the past 6-7 years, and it's been going great. And I've been working for record labels here in New York, and now it came to me and my partner, Anthony. I've been doing all the costumes for Sylvester in this show and brought my creative side and my background to the show. And it was an amazing experience from having Anthony coming from all of theater his whole career into my creative side for fashion, and we came together and we brought Sylvester back to life in 2014 to this Broadway stage, which we're happy to do.
Well, I think you're both incredible. And again, I am in awe. I am in awe, first of all, that this show is happening, and I am just so touched and inspired by the energy that you guys have, the confidence, the creative innovation to actually be able to go out in the mainstream and actually produce something that is so wonderful and extraordinary and an ode to such a remarkable human being that Sylvester was in life. So I want to still go back a little bit in the past, and I just want to find out what life was like during the adolescent years, and did you ever imagine that you would be visible at the level you are today?
Well, you know, it's funny. There was this is Anthony. There was a review that I did sometime not too long ago, and they reminded me of something I spoke about with my mother when I was younger. There was something I would put on the wall, and I remember writing, I want to be in the Governor's School, which was a performing arts high school, or I want to be on Broadway, I want to be a star. So, you know, I started writing those things out, and, you know, there's power in your words. So what I'm realizing is that when you really believe in something, it can truly happen. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be able to do this with Kendrell. And so now having everything kind of come into fruition or what have you, even just being on Broadway, it's incredible. So I think knowing that you can see it before it actually happens, even in your adolescence, it's really quite inspiring for yourself and others as well when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredible. And what has your experience been like from adolescence?
For me, this is Kendrell.
It's
funny that you asked this question. Anthony and I was discussing probably two nights ago of how my structure and my managerial skills, how they've been throughout this process. And I have to call my parents. And since I was probably like in middle school or even earlier, I've always been an entrepreneur. I remember my father buying me a lawnmower. And I used to cut yards like in sixth grade, used for my own money, you know. And I come from the background, but they taught me, you know, whatever you want to do in this world, you can make it happen. So I've always had that in my mind, from my grandmother, everyone saying, you know what, if you have this expensive taste, you want this luxury stuff, you have to work for it. So I've always been just, you know, goal-oriented and putting goals out there and just working hard for it no matter what it is. And it's great, like Anthony said, working together. You know, he's more of an optimistic type, and I'm more of a realistic type, and us coming together is, you know, a great balance, you know. So it's been great, you know, even though we're doing this show here, we're setting big because we want to come and light up San Francisco on your side over there.
Right.
You better know it. You better come out of this Bay Area.
Okay.
You know, another wonderful thing that I'm just tingling all over with, both of you are in a committed relationship with one another. So the questions I have you jumped the broom yet, and how did you two meet?
What was the question again?
Have you jumped the broom, and how did you two meet?
Oh, well, I guess we're engaged. We have rings. We don't, well, for me, we don't try to put too many titles on it and be like, oh, you know, we love to inspire other couples and everyone else out there, you know, to black men being together and working towards a goal and also just having fun. And to me, like, Anthony's one of my best friends. We just have fun. Only thing is different, we're intimate together. We just have fun. You know what I mean? And we have not jumped the broom because we're paying for this show.
Okay.
And I want a big one like Oprah's going to have.
I see.
Yeah, but, and we met actually through a mutual friend online.
Okay.
So when you say online, do you mean on a dating website or do you mean networking?
No, we met on a dating website.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it's good to know that anything's possible. I mean, you know, you go out and you put it out there and you say you want to, you know, meet someone for a certain type or what have you, and then next thing you know, you blink and 3 years have passed. So,
yeah.
You know?
And yeah, and when you say the dating website, I have my horror stories of the 976-900 numbers back in the day. So it really is fate, you know.
Yeah.
That led you guys.
Well,
to
trust me, we went through a lot,
you know,
to get where we are now through those online. Trust me.
Right.
Well,
as you said, you know, we don't mind telling people that because, you know, it gives people hope and lets them know that you can do, you know, anything's possible.
Well, let me go ahead and re-register and see if I can find my Prince Charming, too. Okay, so let's talk about the stage play. You guys are just too cute for words. What year was the decision made to put together this stage play about the life of Sylvester James?
Well, it was around about 2010, I want to say. No, 2010 that The Unsung came on TV One. And I remember seeing it on TV, and I'd always been inspired by his story, by his perseverance and his drive to be who he was regardless of everything, even through what he was going through towards the end. And I kind of carried this with me for a while because I started recording. I started listening to his songs, and I downloaded his recordings, and then I started to find myself singing like him. So I really didn't think anything about it until one day I was like, wow, somebody should do something about him, like a movie or a show or something. And at the time, I had joined Anything Goes on Broadway, and then Kendrell and I had just met. And as the development and conversation started happening, I found myself just writing the script out, like scripting out his life, scripting out what I felt like he would be going through in a different kind of format and putting his music around it. And then as I brought it to Kendrell, we discussed, you know, what it would be to take it to another level or to have people involved. And then from that point, I joined Priscilla Queen of the Desert. And there were two women who were in the show named Jacqueline B. Arnold and Anastasia McCluskey. And so I saw them in the show, and I brought it to them too. And we were like, hey, you know, there's this idea, because he had two women behind him. So would you guys be able to work with us, you know, to see if this is something that we can, like, work out? So they were like, yeah. So we put it together. And, you know, like he said, like Joe said, for his creative side, you know, the talent side, the money side, everything just kind of started to come together. We did a one-night concert July 12th here in New York City at Le Poisson Rouge. And from then on, from that one night, it was like a bomb had dropped in New York City. It was like someone was like, and then, you know, it was like everyone kept saying, you have to do it again, you have to do it again.
Mm. And I feel when you're talking, I didn't know that I was going to feel this way. I think you had mentioned the Unsung episode with Sylvester James, and it told his story, and I feel his spirit with us today. And most certainly he has to be being channeled in the performances that you've done, because I've seen a few of them, and you mentioned that you actually do your own singing with this. So he was truly ahead of his time. So the question I have for you, Anthony, is how do you step into character and become Sylvester?
Well, I think it's just something that's kind of has evolved after some time. You know, there's definitely moments where you get quiet, where you pray, where you think about him, you think about his life story, and you try to, you know, try to bring forth the essence of who he was. and try to let people feel that and try to let people see that. And even when I get into the costumes that, you know, Kadra's brought along and created, and as I get into the mindset and I talk to the girls, and I just, it just starts to happen. And the voice just kind of comes out, and that's the only way I can say it. It just naturally comes out, and I try to, like I said, bring forth the essence of who he is. I was.
Wow. And you, well, you know what, and you do a fantastic job. I remember when I saw the PR for Sylvester, and you were wearing the beautiful white suit, and then you had on the red heels. I just thought that that was just amazing. And here we are in 20. It really was. And here we are in 2014. I remember when Sylvester sat down on a late night show, and he was dressed all up in full glam, and Joan Rivers mm-hmm. was actually doing the show, and just how uncomfortable some of the people on the panel was. But
right.
most certainly, you know, most certainly Sylvester was just really sure about who he was. So can you take us through this creative process, a quick summary, for how it comes from a stage play from the beginning until showtime? What goes on behind the scenes to make this happen?
Anthony, you want to answer me?
You said what?
You want to answer me?
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you mean the whole creative process and everything before it gets to the stage, or you know,
exactly.
you just need that day? Oh.
Yeah, just, you know, the creative
well,
process, does it start with, okay, so you had the idea, and then you wrote the script?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to speak about it in as short a version as I can, because it's a long process, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, Anthony wrote the script, and he thought of all the songs that would be perfect for the show that would go inside, because the way the script is written, it's telling you from his life story from the beginning of his life all the way to the end. And each song, before it goes into a song, it has the monologues. He's telling the story. Sylvester telling his story. He comes back and tells his story from his own words, and then he sings, you know, the songs. It's kind of all tying together. But before we even get that far, after he did the script and whatnot, we presented the show to many Broadway producers. A lot of producers on Broadway, just like back then with Sylvester, they didn't see the vision. A lot of them said no, okay?
Hmm.
And it got to the point, I just told Anthony, I said, you know what? We'll do it ourselves. We'll just do it on our own, because I was used to doing things on my own. And I said, Anthony, this is your chance to show the world all of your talent. So we did it together. We packaged everything. Before it got this big, before the PR and anything, we were our own PR company. We were on our production company. We were on our marketing team. We were on everything. We wake up in the bed together. My laptop is on the side of the bed. His laptop is on the side of the bed. We were just hitting it to the ground pavement, doing all the work together. So we, you know, used all of our money for the show.
We did the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. A lot of people supported us. We did a Kickstarter, and people donated. We met our goal, and people came to the show, our first production. They loved it. And one of our biggest supporters, by the name of Reggie Van Lee, he came, and he loved our show, and we started our tour of our show. We started to get our business side of it, you know, doing budgets for production, how much it's going to cost for it on the tour. So we did the Howard Theater. And then we did the Versace Mansion, which was amazing for me because it was fashion, of course. We did it in Miami. And now, to where we are today going off Broadway, it's like you would think Sylvester threw up in our house. Like, when you come in here, it's a shrine. You see Sylvester posters. You see Sylvester magnets. All of our merchandise, wigs. If you came to our house, you probably think a drag queen lives there. So, but it's been a long process, you know, and we learned so much along the way of speaking to lawyers, contracts. It's just a lot, but we enjoy it, and we see the light at the end of the tunnel, so we just do it and do it and do it. Like, we have 2 Mophies on our iPhones because our battery's always dying, sending emails
mm-hmm.
about Sylvester. But now, you know, after we already got our investors and we booked, mind you, we booked the theater on our own, paid for it in full, the theater's already paid for, which was unheard of. You know, two young black men. Anthony went there, and the guy looked at him like he was crazy. You know,
right?
But yeah, you know, we just wanted to pay it and get it out the way. And it was, you know, a very monumental moment for us when we did book that theater, because on Broadway right now it's like 38 shows. There's only 3 shows that are black shows, and for us to be young black men are producers. A lot of people didn't take us seriously, but now, since they see the wheels are turning, everyone's like, now, you know, they're ready. So, but it's all good, and we're happy, and we want to just, you know, inspire others that they can do whatever.
You have definitely inspired me today. When you mentioned the fact that there were only 3 black Broadway shows that were on, it is amazing that here we are in 2014, and we are still striving, you know, and clawing our way just to prove that we are relevant, especially since so much is taken from African American people in general. But then, you know, African American gay men, women, you know, our money spends just like the rest of them. And there is power in inspiration, and there's power in taking gambles. And it seems to me like this is definitely taking off. So the question that I have for you, Anthony, is the very first night that this show went on, what were you thinking minutes before you were about to step on that stage?
Oh, good question. I think I was thinking about my mother and how much I wish she would be there, because my mother is a big inspiration for me, and how proud she would be. She was in Norfolk, Virginia at the time, and she passed last year, February. But I know that everything that we're doing will be something that she'll be proud of, and so I think I was thinking about that. I think, you know, how far we've come thus far to be doing what we're doing. I think just to know that that Kendra and I are both stepping into something that's kind of hasn't been done before, I guess, as two young black gay men. You know, it's like it's exciting and it's thrilling because we're able to do something that inspires many and that will continue to live on. There are people who come to me, someone I talked to last night on the train literally said, I remember the show you did, and they came to the first one, and they were like, I still remember it, I was excited about it, and I'm so glad you're doing it again, or what have you. So to know that that one show can have that kind of effect makes me happy, even in the moment right before I go on stage, you know?
Wow, that's amazing. And so I have a similar question for Kendrell, okay? So you see your friend, your business partner, your creative light, you're a duo, and you're standing probably in the wings or sitting out in the audience. What thoughts were going through your mind that moment?
This is it. You know, everything that I saw in Anthony for this show, I was so happy that the world would get to see. Because I saw Anthony when he was just doing ensemble, you know, singing backup or dancing in the background and like on a Broadway show. And I heard him sing. And a lot of people, you know, it's not a lot of leading roles. They never saw him in that light. So I was so happy and thrilled for the world to get to see what I've got to see. You know what I mean? And on top of that, I was just going to make sure he hurry up and get off stage and don't mess up these costumes at the same time. You know, like I'm watching the whole time, like, all these lights, he's sweating all the, don't let his makeup get on this white suit. Come on.
Yeah, he's always talking about how I'm pulling it and how the makeup is dripping. I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, it's hot under those lights. From what I remember about being on stage, just in a little theater production, it gets hot up there on that stage, and then add nerves onto it, and you got something totally, totally catastrophic, you know, especially for uniform. So the question I have for you, Kendrell, is how was the wardrobe decided, and how long did it take you to bring them to life?
Well, it didn't take that long, to be honest, because, like I said, I'm used to styling celebrities, and they want something like yesterday, you know. But I did a lot of research on a lot of Sylvester's biggest music videos and his iconic moments or things that he's been known for. Like, for instance, The Fan, I have to have a fan, you know. But I went back to You Make Me Feel Mighty Real music video, and if you see when he cascades down the stairway, he has on that white tuxedo suit. So I said, you know what? This is biggest hit. I want to do that. And I wanted to do Anthony's dark skin, so I wanted to do something that would pop by the girls. And the same thing with the girls, Two Tons of Fun, I looked at the music videos, and a lot of sequins were used. Anthony, he's not used to fashion. I took him to the garment district here in New York City, and we went in so many fabric stores, you know, and touching fabrics and just making sure how they will look on stage. Because, you know, something may look good in person, but when you're looking for stage. And it was great. I did a lot. All of the costumes, I will say, are moments that people, when they see them, they're going to remember from Sylvester. I even have a Lea Jean Price original fur that she never picked up from the furrier, that is part of one of the looks in the show. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're really creating history out there, and I'm just so proud of the work that both of you that you're doing, and that you're doing it together as a couple, and it just speaks volume to the spirit that you both have dwelling inside of you. And so, has Sylvester, any of Sylvester's relatives or anybody, have they seen the show?
Anthony,
We've definitely reached out to his estate and the people who've been involved with him and all the people who he played with and performed with or what have you. And every person that we've spoken to has been really excited about what we're doing, about how we're presenting the spirit of him in such a great light. And everyone's really supportive. And so we're really excited.
Some of his estate came over the first time when we did the show. They donated to our Kickstarter. And his doctor even came over, and they were in tears, you know. So it was a great moment to have that support from people that's known him. But, like, his mother has already passed away. But we're going to reach out to his sister to come over this time around for our big opening night here in New York.
I think that's incredible. I think that for them, it has to be a triumphant moment because, you know, being that Sylvester was loud and proud of who he was back then, I can't imagine the adversity that he faced, but the adversity was not enough to overshadow the talent that he was. I mean, let's face it, in the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, you know, what song was playing, you know, when he said, "Don't put your cools out on my carpet, do you want to funk?" That was Sylvester.
Right.
So, that's in the show.
So it's a testament of just how powerful he was. So let's talk about Anthony Ken LLC and Cheryl Lee Ralph and the Diva Foundation. How did you guys lock horns together?
Go ahead, Kendra.
Believe it or not, social media is a powerful thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was tweeting everyone from Oprah to Tyler Perry to anyone that was, you know, influential into our community. And I was tweeting Cheryl Lee Ralph for a month. She would never respond. I said, I'm going to keep tweeting her every day. She's going to get tired of seeing this Fab Sylvester. I kept tweeting. So one day she responded back. She retweeted or something. She responded back. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to keep on. And then I said to her, we would like to schedule a meeting with you. And she wrote back, okay. And I told her to follow us because, you know, on Twitter you can't talk over that like that, you know, especially with her.
Right.
You want to do something direct message. So I direct messaged her. I said, can we schedule a call with you? And she said, fine. Like 20 minutes later, she said, called us. She was like, hello, how are you? And it was so funny, and it was just so cool. We like, okay, you know what? Let's meet in person. Because sometimes when you speak over the phone with people, they won't get it until they have all the, like, our marketing stuff in front of them and see clips and whatnot. So we, Anthony and I, took a trip on the bus to Philadelphia and met her. She picked us up from the bus station, and we sat and had breakfast with her, and she shared her vision, told us her stories about how she knew Sylvester, and also with the Chica Foundation, and how, you know, her journey of trying to make people aware of HIV and AIDS, how a lot of people told her no in the beginning, and how she thought this would be a perfect match because Sylvester stood for, you know, who he was, like as you said earlier, and wasn't afraid of it. And she thought it was wonderful what we were doing, and she had to be a part of it. So that's how it happened, and she, ever since, we speak to her at least every other day on the phone, do recaps, and she's been very, like, hands-on with us and allowed us to still have our baby and create and do what we do and just be supportive and give us vision and guidance to where we would like to go.
You know what, I tell you, you know, the dimple, chocolate, beautiful stunner that she is, she, her passion when it comes to things around, the subject around HIV awareness and, you know, acceptance, I mean, she has made it known, I mean, she will get hot with somebody if they try to put a gay person down, and I just think that it is incredible. When I saw her name at the top of your website, I'm like, it didn't surprise me whatsoever. So has she come to see the show?
We've definitely given her, well, I don't think we had a performance as of yet for her, you know, a full-fledged performance. But we sat with her and we showed her the DVD, and we definitely, like, were part of her and let her know exactly how the show works. One of the best things I think, you know, having her involved is, you know, yes, Kendrell has a theater background. Yes, I'm a Broadway, you know, background, what have you. But I think her reach into the Broadway community is impeccable because she's a Tony Award nominee, and you know, her being original Dina from the Dreamgirls. It's like, you know, during that time period, there were many friends of hers who had passed away from the epidemic. And so her goal of erasing the stigma for HIV/AIDS she's so passionate about it. And when she brings that to us and to the piece, it's really exciting because we can coincide it with Sylvester's story, and definitely make sure that we allow people to know that they can do anything regardless of what they're going through.
Right.
That is definite. So when you look out into the audience, what is the nationality balance in the audience?
Oh, it's a big mesh of everyone. It's not just gay or straight. It's like, or black or white. It's people who enjoy music and enjoy the love of disco or pop music or something that has a message. And that's what, you know, what Kendra and I bring to, what we've brought to bring the show alive.
Yeah, I remember. So what is the showstopper? What song is the one that is the, and I'm telling you, I'm not going, showstopper?
It's a couple of them. Yeah, there are a couple of them. There's a couple of up-tempo ones, but that You Are My Friend, that's it. That's the one. You know? And you were speaking earlier about, you know, when Kendrell is looking up at me performing. You know, during that song, there's a moment when it starts, and I look at him because he's always sitting in the front or sitting on the side. I know where he's sitting. And, you know, I know that we've gone through a lot to make this happen. And we've gone through a lot over the past years, and to, you know, that song is kind of like the pinnacle of me singing, you know, You Are With Me, we're doing this together, and we're going to persevere through everything, you know? Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I cry every time. It's like, I don't know why I heard it so much, but it's different when you're there. It's like hearing it for the first time, and I see grown men crying, like real grown men.
It's definitely a powerful song. It also can't stop dancing.
Yeah, it can't stop dancing. That's a hit now.
So it's almost like a party in there, I'm pretty sure, because the music is so powerful and emotional. So what I want to do, I want to take a quick break, about a minute, and I want people to listen to the song. So bear with me just a moment. Humor me. And once we're done with the song, we're going to come back and we're going to go ahead and finish the interview, okay?
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. You Are My Friend.
Don't care your
five listeners. God, dog.
That's
a lot of
singing. My God, that's a party.
Yeah, that is definitely a party. So this question is going to Anthony. God dang, I got to recover from that one. Okay. So I asked fellow Broadway performer Darius D. Haas when he came to visit the show last week that during his interview, how do you preserve your voice so that it always nails it at that level of perfection night after night?
Well, I just try to stay. I get to a point where I have to shut up and stop talking, of course. But you just kind of take care of it. You know, you just have to consistently, like, drink your water and rest and all of those things, you know, those usual things you do, and drink tea and all those things. But, I mean, I think if you just continue to take it easy and, like, you know, do a little warm-ups or what have you, every voice is different. So that part of my voice is just there, and it's God's gift. That's kind of the only way I can say it. So I just try to, you know, be patient and be smart about how I use it, and just try to, you know, take care of it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said. He said that there are times when he's not able to actually even talk because he's, you know, preserving the voice. Because I can't imagine performing at that high a level all the time. So that just assures me that people that can do those things, that they are truly touched by God. They just really are. And I'm hoping that I could actually see this show. Even if I can't fly down to New York, then hopefully you guys will come up this way. So, Kendrell, I have a question for you. Once I saw the list of people that you actually have worked with as far as dressing them, what is the energy like dressing the high profile and demanding?
It depends on the personality. You have to remember, these people are regular people at the end of the day, so it really just depends on the personality. I have some clients that are, you know, very easygoing, and I have some clients that think I'm a magician.
Ooh.
So,
yeah, when I think about that, there's the show Single Ladies, and LaToya Luckett plays one of those type of people, and the guy is, you know, trying to dress her. So I could just only imagine what that's like, my God. But you managed to keep it cool, huh?
At times. You know, you have to have a lot of patience, and you have to remember that they're the artists. You know, at the end of the day, the decisions that I make or what I think that is nice is, you know, no one's going to say, oh, LaToya Luckett, or you look bad. I mean, your stylist is awful. Sometimes if you're a fashion person, but the most time when we see people on red carpets and whatnot, they're going to say, oh, she looks bad on the red carpet. You know what I mean? So it's their representation of them, their image and their brand. You know, it's a lot of trust they have in me to be held responsible to. So, yeah, I understand. But even in this process of doing the Sylvester show with, like, our PR company that we work with, I find myself sometimes, like, we are the clients, but sometimes I can get very demanding, like, well, what is this? What is this? What is this? Everything that sometimes I hate about some clients, I catch myself, I'm doing the same thing. And it's just because, you know, they care about their brand, and, you know, they just want the best to be the best. And I understand. So whoever you work with, they have to understand that too.
But it's also our baby too. You know, Kendrell and I have been doing this for a while. So it's like you get so caught up in doing, you know, it all or what have you. You got to let go sometimes. I know sometimes when we're working, I have to understand that I need to step back and let Kendrell just take the reins when it comes to, you know, all types of things, you know, and just be, you know, play certain, you know, play that role of artist or what have you. You know, because you got to trust them. You got to know when to trust someone and let know that they have the best interest at heart for the end of the play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most definitely. And so, Kendrell, can you tell us a little bit about I Am Kendrell? I mean, is it for the people that are listening, and even also for myself, is it a store that you have? Is it on the Internet? Or what does that look like?
No, I Am Kendrell is just a styling company. That we offer styling services to not only celebrities but to just everyday people. I have a client that's just a lawyer that lives in Harlem, but she goes to conferences and she wants to look nice. And for me, it is just about looking your best on every occasion. Sometimes we don't realize when we leave our house, we're already on stage. You never know who you can run into, so you have to, you know, image is first. We see before we, you know, hear or know anything about someone. So we just try to help people look their best. It's not always about what's high-end designers. It's just about what makes you feel good and makes you comfortable in your own skin. But I do all the celebrity stuff too, but like music videos, red carpets, you know, fashion shows, all those type of things. So it's a styling company. You can find on my website, it's www.iamkindrell.com, and you can see like editorial photo shoots, music videos that I've done, album packaging for artists of your favorite artists that I've done. And yeah, and I also have a blog on my website that I'm very, very frank and direct with, you know, my fans, and let people know what goes on in my everyday life. It's not all glitz and glam because I'm a celebrity. I tell stories about, you know, arguments I may even have with Anthony. I'm just a real person. I just want people to understand.
He's very honest.
I'm very honest because I don't want people to get caught up in the glitz and glam. We're real people. Look, if we don't have money, we don't have money, you know, so, but we're going to get that money.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are going to get that money. And so is the blog the same address as your web address?
Yes, it's a tab on my website on iamkindrell.com. It says Kindrell Journal, and I have it by date. I share intimate photos like me, my family, my friends, my close friends, and some videos of things that, you know, I may not want to put on Facebook or Instagram that, you know, I ask questions. People ask me questions. I answer their questions. And, you know, we just have an in-depth time, and I have to write about it. I write to the readers as if I'm talking to you on the phone. In first person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'm definitely going to be looking that one up. Now, this is the thing, and this is what I told Brandy, because I want to also be a support to the show as well. As I see the posts that pop up, I'm going to go ahead and share them with all the people that I know on my sites as well. And also, I want to go ahead and get some thank yous out. I want to thank my friends over at World Media, because they actually made the Howard Hewitt interview possible. And I also want to thank Luther Aramis McRae over at the Fans of TV One's Unsung fan page. I mean, that page is humongous, and they so graciously allowed for me to actually post snippets about the interview today as well as about the show. So you've got thousands of people that are actually seeing what you guys are doing. I also want to thank Brandy Hunter for making this interview possible, because when I spoke with her earlier today, it was just one. I was so glad that I got a chance to talk to her today before speaking with you guys. So I have second to the final question, but I'd like to ask this of my guests because I'm curious. So I'm going to start with you, Anthony. If you could go back in time and talk to 7-year-old Anthony Wayne,
mm-hmm.
What would you tell him?
I would tell him to, even though those kids are talking about you and laughing at you, even though they took things from you, know that it's not going to be like this forever.
Oh.
Wow. And know that there are great things coming your way. Just stay encouraged and just know that anything's possible.
Anything is impossible. Anything is possible indeed. And Kindrell, how about little 7-year-old Kindrell? What would you tell him?
Stop talking back. No, I'm just talking. No. Okay. I always try to make people laugh. Okay, for me, I think I would say something, the same thing my grandmother would say to me is anything that you want in this world, you can have. You can just work hard. No one's going to give you nothing in this world. So if you want it, work for it, and don't give up. No matter what anyone says, you can do it.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. You are two amazing men. Ladies and gentlemen, we have just had an interview here at A Touch of Grace with two inspiring talents, just incredible. They are behind the mighty. Yes, you are incredible. And I,
thank
GD
you.
Said that.
Thank you for interviewing us.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
this has been
awesome.
A joy.
Well, you
I,
know
have
what,
I have to say something really quick. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Shirley Ralph. She started an Indiegogo page, and she was opening up to anyone who wanted to be an angel and, you know, donate to her Diva Foundation. And it's on Indiegogo. Even if you just write Shirley Ralph Sylvester Musical, you'll find it. It's right there. And anybody who wants to put money towards that will go towards the Diva Foundation. I just want to make sure that was put out there. Because
she gives good prizes, not prizes, but incentives. She gives gifts to everyone that donates to it, too. So it's going towards a good cause. And also, I forgot to let people know that tickets are on sale. Group tickets are on sale for our show right now. Groups 10 or more, we're going to offer everyone a discounted group rate. All you have to do is type in Sylvester. Go to www.fabuloussylvester.com for group tickets. And our individual tickets for the show, which starts September 5th to October 5th, will go on sale June 2nd. Everything's on our website, www.fabuloussylvester.com.
Thank you so much for getting that out there, because I definitely wanted people to. I was going to ask that question, but I'm so glad that you guys went on ahead and said it, because I want to make sure that your show is supported, because you guys are doing some fabulous things. And most certainly I want to thank Cheryl Lee Ralph for just being the incredible humanitarian that she is. So, everyone, we had a wonderful hour interview with two very talented men, Anthony Wayne and Kendrell Bowman, of Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical. Definitely do go out and support what they're doing out there. Tomorrow I have Essence bestseller author William Cooper, who's going to be talking about his latest novel, Unbreakable. And it's a love story that is centered around the music of Michael Jackson. So with that in mind, gentlemen, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to leave the A Touch of Grace listeners with today?
Well, we have, I mean, I don't think we said about the Instagram and the Facebook and the Twitter. It's at Fab Sylvester, at F-A-B Sylvester. So if you want to go there and follow us there, you can definitely do that.
Also on Facebook, we have a Facebook page, just like, you know, you have the TV One fan book page and all of that. We have a Facebook page dedicated to all of the Sylvester fans and also just for our show. Go to facebook.com/FabSylvester, F-A-B, then Sylvester. And like you said, Instagram and Twitter. And we hope all of you can come to the show. I guarantee you, I'm such a perfectionist. This show is going to be a memorable experience, okay? Even down to the playbill you take home. We're not using the regular playbills the other shows are doing. We took our time and made a scrapbook, a piece of memorabilia that you can take home from our show to remember Sylvester and your experience at Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical.
Yeah, keepsake. So the experience is the perfect word that can draw you. That's it. It's going to be
an experience. So when you walk into our theater, you're going to feel like you walk into a time warp.
I love it. I love it. And let me just tell you this. The invitation is open so that when it gets closer to the play time, if you want to return back to A Touch of Grace so that we can continue to give you that exposure, let Brandy know, or you can get in touch with me yourself at authorgdgrace@gmail.com, okay?
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. God bless you guys. I love you guys so much, and you take care and have a wonderful afternoon.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
All right.
Bye.
God bless. All right. All right. A Touch of Grace listeners, it was an incredible episode. I just really thank the fellas, Anthony Wayne, as well as Kendrell Bowman, for stopping by. They were incredible, incredible spirits. And just know, if nobody has told you today, GD loves you, make sure you're loving yourself, okay? You take care. Bye-bye.